Well, the U of L Oral History Project. Today is April 3rd, 1979. I'm talking with Mrs. Bess Harris and Mrs. Martha Green. Martha Green was born in Tukin, Russia, and presently resides at Hikes Lane. Bess Harris was born in Louisville, Kentucky, and presently lives on Elmira Circle. They are the daughters of Rachel and Abraham Jacob Wallman. Mr. Wallman was born approximately 1874 and lived until 1933. Mrs. Wallman died in 1949 in Louisville, Kentucky. Mrs. Green, I'd like for you to begin now and tell us some of the circumstances under which your parents came to this country.
Well, my father was a soldier in the Army, and when he got out, he thought he'd be much safer in America. So why he picked Louisville, Kentucky, we really can't tell. But he did come with his family, and we resided in our early life on Fair Avenue, which he bought a home because he couldn't get even an apartment for the children. We were seven children, and there was none available. They wouldn't rent it to anyone with so many children, so he had to scrape and save to get a home on Fair Avenue. And from there on, we grew up and we went to school. And I, for one, went to Thomas Jefferson School on Walnut Street. And we had a lovely family unity. And furthermore, he had to make a livelihood. So he peddled, or you might say he had sort of an installment type of business. And the people that always loved him, and he would collect every week he would collect the little payments that was given to him, and also whatever they wanted to buy, they asked him to bring their sheets or pillowcases or stockings or whatever, and he would let them owe it to him, and he had the day for collections, and that's what he did till he opened up a small store, and I was maybe about 14 at the time, 15, and from there we branched out into a larger place on Preston and Walnut. And
I believe this first store was about 512 South Preston. Where was it?
520 South Preston was his first small store, and from there he branched out into this corner building at 500 South Preston. And I used to help him very much with a sister of mine, Miss Ann Gertzman, who now lives in Florida. And she was one of the workers, and myself. And my older sister, she didn't like the dry goods end of it. So believe it or not, as a girl, she became a salesman to call on stores, and she was about 18 at the time, when she didn't care for the business type, and they called her a drummer at the time. And this business that she did was went through the main street, and she got merchandise and sold, had orders taken, and that was what she did, and we all helped, every one of us helped in the store, which was a wonderful unity in our childhood days and growing up days.
Ms. Harris, tell us some of the things that you recall about these early days here, let's say perhaps living over the store and some of the
Well, before life. That, I remember I was born on Fair Avenue Street. I was born in the very lovely home we had there, and we had, I remember, a grape vine in the back, yeah. And oh, it was a beautiful home. We really felt that we were in luxury. And then when we moved on Preston Street, at 520 South Preston, we lived in back of the store, I believe. We moved. Our home too, and then we went to the big store. It was called Wallman's Department Store, and that was two big buildings together, corner building. And we had a very large apartment upstairs, eight rooms. And they were large rooms, and we used to have a lot of company, and it was just beautiful. We really felt that, even though we were more or less like middle class, I guess you would call it, but we felt that we were really in luxury. And at this store was when my older sisters, Martha and Ann and Goldie, used to work. And then when, and my brother went to school of pharmacy. He never did work in the store. But he really is and was and is a wonderful brother. He was like one of the girls. He used to help with the, they taught him how to sew and things like that a little bit. And he used to do all kind of things with the girls. But he never did act like a boy, a spoiled. He never was spoiled. And so anyway.
Well, I'm no. Take it off.
Take it off. Wait a minute. Better stop a minute.
I wonder.
In 1929, there was the Depression, and my father, after my older sisters had gotten married, he went and took only one side of the building, one part of the building. He rented out the other to a man who sold records and Victrolas. And this man was bankrupt, went bankrupt, and then my father bought out his place, and he start selling records and Victrola. At that time, it was my younger sister, Reva Khan, and myself. We were the clerks. And I never will forget, we used to get a salary. My father believed in paying us, even though we got our room and board and everything free, we still got a salary. And then my father used to go and watch how they put in springs and Victrolas. And so, and he used to say they he had to charge $2.50 for that work. And by watching, he learned how to put in springs in these Victrolas. He only charged $1.25. And he used to say, you see, some people, they want to make so much money. He said it isn't necessary. He felt that he was making a good living and at the same time only had to charge $1.25. So my sister and I, we were selling records and Victrolas, and we enjoyed that work. In fact, I got married, and because our home was so big over there, my husband and I, we lived there for 2 years. And so, and when my little girl was born, we lived another 3 months, and then we moved out on our own. But I at that time, even though I was married, I used to work in the store. And we used to have the store open on Sundays because we always had, you know, we were closed on Saturdays and on all the holidays. And my parents, as you know, they were very, very pious. And he went to the synagogue 3 times a day. And his life actually revolved around the religion, both my mother's and my father's life. So we were instilled at us the observances of Judaism, keeping kosher and not riding on the Sabbath. This was instilled at us in love for Judaism.
I believe that, as you say, everything was mixed with your religion as far as his occupation, and that he even did bar mitzvah instruction in the back of the store. Would you tell us about this?
Oh, yes. That is something I never will forget. The picture that he painted. We had windows in this corner store, and he used to get in the store, and people that passed by could see him. He was fixing his Victrolas, and at the same time, boys used to come to him. He tutored them in order for them to become bar mitzvah, even though the boys would go to Hebrew school and they had to learn, they still needed separate tutoring for the bar mitzvahs. And so he used to be fixing his Victrolas, and at the same time he'd listen to the boys. And one of my friends told me recently, when she used to bring her brother over there, just, I never could understand how your dad, he was concentrating on his work that he had to do, and yet he was concentrating on my brother. She said, but if my brother made a mistake, she really, he caught it. And to this day, I run into young men now that are in their 60s who remember my father and will tell me that it was because of your father, I had a bar mitzvah. And of course, he didn't take any money because he His life was filled up with trying to promote Judaism. This was his life. Besides, he was such a good man in so many ways. He was like a doctor. Before a person went to a doctor, the neighbors, the relatives, they always came to him. My mother didn't take care of us in that respect. When any of us were ill, it was always my father. But they themselves, he used to help her. He'd mop the floor, he'd sweep the floor, and anything he could do to help her. He was one of the greatest husbands that I know of. And if they lived today, they would fit in beautifully, because today the women want the husbands to be part of their lives, and he certainly was that. And he was happy. I remember this so vividly. Everything made him happy. He was just happy. And even though he himself was so religious, he didn't judge other people, you know. And of course, he always would bring home people that went to the synagogue. These were unfortunates that they needed help. So they would come through. They'd go from one city to another, these unfortunates. Pardon me. And during the week, it was not surprising he brought some people over, or on a Sabbath, almost every Saturday there was somebody that would come, or sometimes two people, sometimes three people. And my mother always welcomed them, and she herself was very involved in the Knesset Sisterhood, and you know, Miss Bobo, Jewish life is being good to God and good to man. That's what Jewish religion is all about. In other words, say a person just goes to the synagogue to pray, that's not everything. You have to be good to man. And this is, we realize that this is the way we were taught to live. When it came to charity, we were told, if 10 people come and ask you for money, there might be only one that is worthy of you giving. But my father said you have to give all 10, because you never know who the one is that needs it.
I believe even the community used his interest in other people, like such as finding out which people would be deserving of welfare and this,
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes,
did they not?
Yes, Martha, you remember,
yes,
that part.
He was always investigated. Rather, he would investigate the poor people that were in Louisville at the time, and they were on welfare. And there was an agency on Walnut Street that Mr. Charles Sproul and Mrs. Crackard was the head of. And they always consulted my father, Mr. Wallman, to go ahead and find out if these people were deserving of their help. Because they were really down and out, but they still felt like they should be looked after or sought after to see if they should get the proper attention and the charity that they rightfully did get. So my
and father, they organized a group called the Gemilat Chesed. This group lent money to people who needed it. It was mostly like to maybe start a livelihood, or to help them in their business. And my father was treasurer of this group called the Gemilat Chesed. And they lent without interest. And it was no set time. They did have to have someone to guarantee it. And in fact, one time my father himself had to pay where some man wasn't able to meet his obligations. But these were the kind of things he was interested in. And I remember as a child, his love for Palestine. He went to people and asked them to buy land for Palestine. He went to little country towns soliciting money. And he used to tell my mother, he'd say, oh, I don't understand people, why they don't realize that the Jewish people need a land of our own. See, so we were brought up knowing that we had something to think about, that Palestine, God willing, was going to be our home one of these days. And this is what he was working for. And So that's why we have a love for Jewish National Fund, which is, you know, buying trees and buying land. And so this was something we learned very, very young, the love for Palestine. And so I'm sorry he himself and my mother didn't get to live to go to Palestine, but I'm sure he knows that his children have been going to Israel and everything. So so I'm just thrilled that to know that my father had such a vision, where so many of his friends didn't have this vision, but he had this vision.
This just seems like such a great responsibility for a person of non-English speaking background. Can you tell me how he was able to manage so well
when
Russian language?
Yes. When we came to America, as I said, he always felt like that he wanted to talk and learn as fast as he possibly could, because it was quite hard when you first come over from the old country to learn the English language. So we, in turn, he would read the English paper and ask us a lot of questions, and we would he would want us to speak to him in Yiddish, and he would answer in English, so that way he could become more familiar with the English language and cope with the situation. And he really was a very, very learned man, and easy to cope with the situation, and learned very fast. And we were all very proud of him. And of course, he did become a citizen, which that's another thing that he was so proud. And he stood up on the courthouse step and just felt like it was glory, glory, hallelujah. That's the truth. He was one of the most proudest men, and he waved that citizen paper up in the air and this held the world right on the beautiful day. It was beautiful on the courthouse steps, and my younger sister, she was with him holding his hand to come down the steps. And that was one of the biggest moments, I think, in my father's life, to become that American citizen. And of course, all of us children, we, those that were able, we all became good Americans, at least. I think so.
Well, citizenship and the synagogue seem to have gone hand in hand. I believe there's an interesting story as to the original synagogues and their merger to the
yes.
present day. Could uh-huh. you tell me the connection here?
We used to belong to a small synagogue at Preston and Liberty Street. It was called a Beth HaMedrash HaGadol. And there was another small synagogue on East Jefferson Street, and that was called B'nai Yaakov. After a while, these two synagogues merged, and my father, being active in the synagogue board and everything, he was one, in 1928 this happened, Miss Bobo, he was one who worked on this committee for the merger. According to Jewish law, the traditional synagogue is separate seating, the women separate, the men separate. And in the bylaws of the synagogue, the synagogue, it was changed to the name of Knesset Israel Synagogue, and it was built of gorgeous place on Floyd and Jacob Streets. Now, in the bylaws, it was written that this synagogue must never be changed from separate seating. And I'm sorry that it turned out that later on some of the young people did change it. And but I know if people like my father and mother were alive today, this would not have happened.
How was the money raised for the building?
Well, I tell you what, he was one of the signers, and he had a collateral on his store and on his home. And I'm sure most of the people in those days did it, but they had such faith that they were going to succeed that they had no fear. And when they were selling different honors in the synagogue and fixtures and different things, my father borrowed $500 and for the honor of purchasing the chandelier. A chandelier that hung in this gorgeous, gorgeous synagogue. And I mean, you don't find many people today who borrow money to give, you know, for the support of the synagogue or for, another good cause. But in other words, they lived on faith, that they knew that they would be able to do these kind of things.
Your father, I know, was honored in death and respected in life. You have explained to me how in the neighborhood, it was a mixed neighborhood and people of many different backgrounds. Would you share some of this with us and how at his death all of this came into play?
Mrs. Bobo, it was wonderful, the honor that was given to my father when he passed away. His body was brought into the synagogue, and on the bima, it was placed on the bima, and the synagogue was crowded, just like on the high holy days, with non-Jews, with the blacks, and of course with Jewish people. And to my knowledge, I don't remember any funeral religious people, other religious people, where they brought the body into the synagogue. And I thought, oh, our children, my sisters and my brother and myself, we really are blessed to have had parents like my mother and father. And one man who came to see us at the time when we were sitting Shiva, he said, your father left a beautiful heritage. And he said, maybe money-wise, he wasn't rich. But we, of course, felt that we were rich because we had this store, we had a lovely home, we did what we wanted to do, and all these kind of things. So we felt that we were very rich, even money-wise. And come back to the funeral itself, it was led by a motorcycle police escort. Of course, they do that to a lot of funerals, large funerals. But the fact that his body was actually put on the bima, and because he never did really want a eulogy or anything. And it's just so great about people that have moved into this city. Every once in a while I run into someone, he said, yeah, I've heard about your father. He was called the Red Woman. And he was called the Red Woman. He had a brother that was called the Black Woman, because this one had a real black beard. And my father's beard and hair were like tinted a little red. There's a very funny story, Mrs. Bobo, about that. My mother said, my mother used to love red hair. And she says, none of her children have red hair. She says, the fact that here her husband had red hair, but she didn't have it. According to Jewish belief, a husband's livelihood depends a great deal on a wife. If a person is prosperous, a husband, it's most of the time because they've had a wife who has worked along with him and helped him, and he's had this kind of a life. Now, I don't know if you probably have heard of mitzvah. When a person does a good deed, they have a mitzvah. So my father, knowing that my mother in her own rights did so much for the community, for people. People used to come to both my father and mother for advice on this, advice on that, because they were the kind of people being interested in other people. They knew that they would give them this advice. In fact, I'm getting off of the point a minute, but I just recall a little story that someone told me. This woman had a very sick child, and the doctors could not help this child. And so she came to my mother. My mother said the child was very weak looking and sickly looking. She said, why don't you give this child, I don't know what this was that she told her, a certain kind of food and diet. And this person who told me about it said, do you know that child lived? Because your mother told her what to do for this child. So this is the kind of people they were. Mrs. Bobo, I'll go back to this mitzvah thing I start explaining to you. So my father, because my mother was such a helpmate to him, like I told you, so he said to her one day, her name being Rachel in Yiddish, it's Ruchze. So he said, Ruchze, I'm telling you right now, half of my mitzvah goes to you. And I thought that was so beautiful. In other words, even when a wife does a lot of charity, according to the Jewish law, the husband, for some reason, gets the credit, which I know they should get part of the credit or half of the credit, but he wanted to be sure that she was, so he made an open declaration. He said, Ruchze, I'm repeating it because I thought it was so beautiful. He said, I'm telling you, half of my mitzvahs go to you. So, like I say, we were just blessed to have such parents.
Well, you did come from a large family. Let's, for a few minutes, talk about the various brothers, the brother and the various sisters. I believe four of you were born in Russia, the rest in the United States.
Yes. Well, I was the second child. My sister Cassie, she was the older one. And following us, I have a sister Ann, and then my sister Goldie. Now, we four came with my mother. See, my father did come just a little ahead of my mother so he could get settled in a place. And then we came on the next ship. So, of course, I was only 4 years old at the time, so I don't recall any thing on the ship or anything of that nature. But other than that, my father would tell us all about the history of his life in early age, and that was what I can remember. And after that, we all became very involved in American life, and we enjoyed everything with the synagogues and with people. We followed a little bit in our father's footsteps, I believe, and hopefully that we wouldn't have disgraced him, not for the world, because he was such a good man and good father, and we certainly appreciate everything. So we can live a little bit on his laurels, actually. So I know my sister Bess feels the same way about it.
Definitely.
And then Bess, I believe, yeah. Several were born here in Louisville.
Yes, my brother Herman, and then I was born, and then my sister Reva. Now, my brother is a very good brother, a very considerate brother, never spoiled, and very charitable, and he put himself through school of pharmacy, and of course we thought it was such a great thing that he did it on his own, and so he married a very fine person, Pearl Waxman, and now they're living in Florida. They have a very nice family, and thankfully, all of the children married very good. We didn't do like my mother had said to us. She used to complain. She says, you can fall in love with a rich boy or a girl just as well as with a poor one. And then after we were all married, she says, none of my children listen to me. But anyway, my parents were very satisfied with our choices, and 'cause they... Thank goodness we all have good lives, and so they were very satisfied.
And I believe all but two are still residing in Louisville, are they not?
Yes, all but two, that's right. And my sister Reva and my brother-in-law Dave, after a while, they bought the store for my parents. They didn't right away, but he went into business. So at that time, it was during the Depression, and they were to get married, and my brother-in-law wanted to, he was a little worried because here he didn't have this job because he was very young and they kept the older persons. And so anyway, they talked it over with my mother and father, and my father said, I tell you what, you go over and take over the store now. He was ready to give up the Victrolan because here I was married and Reba was getting married. So then my brother-in-law said, Dave said, well, what kind of business will I go into? He said, you know what? He said, you go into the 5 and 10. To think at that time that he thought of things like a 5 and 10 cent store, they listened to him, and thank goodness they were very, very successful in it. And my brother-in-law, since they're retired, he's retired and everything, but he was the one that even made the suggestion. And so I'm just telling you, he was there, they were both there with all kind of advice and everything else. And we listened because we knew they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, that story life is. Yeah.
Your father, as you have said, was a very happy man.
He was so happy.
You mentioned that he had never really attended very many movies and this type of thing, but there is one story, I believe.
Yes, he finally gave in to go to the movies, and that was when Al Jolson was in The Jazz Singer. The reason for that, this Al Jolson sang into the most beautiful melody of our Kol Nidre night. That is the New Year's Eve night.
Yom Kippur.
And it was such a beautiful story that he finally gave in to go with me. And I took him. It was down at the Strand Theater, right on 4th and Chestnut. And it's changed now. I don't know what's in there now, but it's really, all the old neighborhoods are gone. But he did enjoy that movie, and I was so happy that he gave in to. He just felt like it was a little foolish to go to movies. He did, but he should be here now and see what they're showing.
Orthodox community. The children continue to lead Jewish lives. Would you at this time set out for us the children and their husbands and their families as they exist today?
Well, my sister Cassie passed away at the age of 36. She was the oldest of the girls, and she was married to Jacob Goldstein, and they had two sons, thank goodness, Samuel and Marvin, who are living. Samuel has two daughters and one grandchild. They're both druggists. Something that I never will forget about my sister Cassie, besides being a very observant Jewess, she used to go to the old Jewish hospital and visit all the patients there. And she always brought them cheer. And then if they'd say, well, I'd want a little something, and they wanted, sometimes some of the Jewish patients would say they want some gefilte fish and, you know, something like that. And she used to bring it to them, and she brought them little presents. She loved to give gifts, and she would do that to our mother, too. I remember she used to, was one of them that she just loved bringing somebody little gifts. And then my sister Martha, will tell about herself. She came second in line.
Yes, I'm Sister Martha. Yeah. And Cassie and I was inseparable. Really, we were just one person in two bodies, actually, because I loved her and she loved me. And we both did things together that when the loss of her was really a sad one for me, because I'll never get over it. But we were nice neighbors at one time. My first husband, I married a man by the name of Simon Fine, and we had a little grocery on Floyd and Jacob, which was close to my sister Cassie. And that's one reason, I suppose, I was very devoted to her and she to me. And when my oldest little daughter was born, I have one that's called Irma Jean. As a matter of fact, Cassie even named her. She loved the name of Irma Jean. And not long afterwards did she pass away. That's my sister, Cassie. But then I had another lovely daughter named Sylvia Klein, and rather she was Sylvia Fine, but she's married to a man by the name of Howard Klein, a very fine person. And she has four children, two sons and two daughters, which I adore. And so, and then I have a younger daughter that she lives now in Southfield, Michigan. She's married to a doctor, a doctor of the head, actually, the ear, nose, and throat, and whatever surgery needs to be done on the head. And they're getting along fine, and also have lovely two grandchildren from them, a boy and a girl. And now the son is already in college, which I think he's going to become a doctor. So all in all, I suppose my family was, and a matter of fact, I almost forgot to tell you that my oldest daughter, Irma Jean Yaffe, she is now married to Eddie Yaffe, and they have a son and a daughter, lovely, and from the daughter, there's three little grandchildren. So that makes my daughter a grandmother, where myself a great-grandmother. So all in all, I'm real happy about the situation. Hope they all get along fine and well, and observe the policy of Judaism, and hopefully they'll go on living good lives from now on forever.
Well, and then after Martha comes Anne. Anne's married to Sam Gertzman. Up until a few months ago, they were living in Cincinnati, Ohio. Anne is a very active person. She has done so much for the Orthodox old home in Cincinnati. They first had one building, and then she was on the building fund for the other. She was on the board. She used to spend 3 to 4 days a week there, and she knew everyone. Several times when I went up to visit her, I used to enjoy to go up and see these people, and she would cheer them up and say, come on now, you feel good. She wouldn't let anybody say they didn't feel good. And so when recently they moved to Clearwater, in fact, she didn't want to move out of Cincinnati because of her love for the residents at the Orthodox home. But the weather was getting too cold the winters, and the doctor said she should move. But she really left it very regretfully. They gave her a big party, and the residents collected a lot of money for my sister Anne to purchase something for their new condominium in Florida. She did something that I will always remember. When she was going to the Louisville Girls High School, the graduations at that time were on Friday evening. Well, being observant Jews, none of us would ride. So and my father talked to her about this and everything. She went to the principal of the school. She didn't, all by herself, she didn't ask any of the other Jewish kids to go with her. She went there and she said, I won't be able to graduate with the class. My parents will not be able to come up. And she said, because of the graduation. And this principal changed the date of the graduation to another evening. I don't have to tell you what a wonderful person this person, how we feel about the fact that he did it for one person. And after that, for years, none of the school graduations at the girls' high school were on Friday night. And so my sister Anne has wonderful qualities, and she married a very fine man, and they have two daughters, Shirley Fishman, who lives in Clearwater, Florida with her family, and they have two children. And then she has Gilda, the youngest daughter, is married to Leonard Servetter, and they have four children. And Gilda is a doctor of psychology. Her husband recently, he's in the education field in California. He wrote a book about the having school 12 months out of the year. And he was written up in the California paper, and he's done a great deal for the Jewish, public school education. And he's also very, very learned. He's an observant Jew, by the way, and he is very, very learned in Judaism. And he's also, at one time when Gilda was going with Leonard, he was tutoring boys for their bar mitzvah and things like that. They have a beautiful family, and she's very happy with the great-grandchildren. They're darling children. Then comes my sister Goldie. Well, Sister Goldie, I kid her a lot of times, I'll say Sister Goldie. Anyway, she is very fun-loving. When anybody's around her, they just love to be in her company. She's a good dancer, and her husband, he should rest in peace, Arville, was a very, very good man. And but they used to dance a lot. Just always dancing, and she has two, and she has a store called Goldie's Discount Shoe Store at Preston and Liberty, and she has her son and daughter-in-law in business with her. Unfortunately, her husband passed away a number of years ago, and then she has a very, and they're both lovely people, her son and daughter-in-law, and they have three children. They have a son and two daughters, and they're all doing so well in educationally. And she has a very lovely daughter, Carolyn, who is married to Dave Kreitman. And they have two daughters, Carolyn and Dave, and one son, and they're all lovely. And Ivan, the grandson, he is going to architecture school. And so, and they're just all beautiful children. And Goldie, too, tries to do what she can do. Then after Goldie comes my brother, Herman. Now, like I told you, Herman is not a spoiled person. And he's very close to the sisters, and so is his wife. He's married to the farmer Pearl Waxman, and she loves our family just like we would be her sister. And they have a son, Alan Wallman, who now lives in Arizona. And Alan has two sons, and they have a daughter, Sharon Kaplan, and Sharon has three beautiful daughters, and two of them are married. And the eldest daughter, Robin, has two lovely children. My brother Herman is very active in the synagogue. They lived in Louisville up until about 8 years ago. And both he and Pearl are active in Hallandale, Florida, in the synagogue there. In fact, just recently, he assumed the fundraising chairperson for the synagogue. So, and he is very, very knowledgeable in his Hebrew and everything. In fact, before my parents sent Herman to public school, he was already being tutored in Judaism at the age of six. Then come I, and well, I'm married to Sam Harris, and as I said, I'm very blessed with the parents I have, and God blessed me with giving me a very good husband. Judaism is so much my life. And also in this house, everything works around Judaism. And even though my husband did not come from an observant a home as I did, rearing the children, he's always let me rear them in my way. They keep the Sabbath. They do not ride on the Sabbath. And first came my daughter, Esther, and she's married to Dr. Arthur David, a chiropractor. And there, too, I'm very, very fortunate. The fact that Artie keeps his office open on Sunday and not on the Sabbath. I asked him to do it, and he listened to me. And even when he was going to school, my daughter was only 17 when they married, and he said, well, in order to get a job to help supplement the money for his schooling, he would have to work on the Sabbath. And I told him, I said, Artie, don't do that. I said, don't worry about it. And he was on the GI Bill of Rights. He's about 6 years older than my daughter, and so he had already been in the service. He had had 2 years of a pre-med, but he decided to switch to chiropractic. I said, we'll give you a little bit. Your parents will give you a little bit. And he listened. And so he didn't work, but he gave all his time to studying. And so I told him, I said, you'll be blessed because of it. And really, he has been. While he was doing postgraduate work, he worked on a girl who had had polio for 13 years, 13 years prior to that. And he got a special certificate. She was walking with a very bad limp, and one leg was very, very thin. And he helped her to the fact where she was walking with very slight limp. She used to hardly, it took her forever to get across the street. Most of the time when she went to work, she had to it just took her a long time, so she had to use a cab to get home. Anyway, worked on this girl, and she just has a slight limp now, and she dances and everything. And the funny part, she ended up marrying a chiropractor that used to come over to the house there. And then they have four children, two girls and two boys, and their eldest daughter, Liz, in Israel, in a kibbutz, got married last year, and they have a beautiful family, too. One of them is Bobby is in research, and the other one graduated as an accountant. He's also a writer. And then the youngest one, Shelley, she's in Bellarmine now, and she, this year, she was named one of the students from all the colleges, the who's who of the colleges in America. And she was one that was chosen for that. And comes my son. He was born 6 years after Esther, and he's observant. And like I said, never did work on the Sabbath. And I owe so much to my husband because he went along with me with all this and everything. And he's married to a very fine girl. She was Marilyn Simon. They lead a very Jewish life. They have a daughter and two sons. And we all belong, my family, to the Yom Tov Synagogue. And my sister Martha and Goldie and Reva belong to the Knesset Israel. My sister Reva comes next. She's the baby of the family. And she's involved in different activities for this group or that group. She also does beautiful painting and artwork. And she's married to David Kahn, who's very active in the synagogue. And they have two wonderful sons, Arnold Kahn and Ronald Kahn. Ronald's an MD, and Arnold is in research. They're both wonderful children, and they have
two and two.
Both of the sons have two children apiece. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you both ladies for talking with us today, and I think you've put down an invaluable record of your family's history. And if at any time you would like to add to these tapes, we'll be glad to come back and talk with you again. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, we thank you so much. It was really fun. It really was fun. Uh-huh.